Welcome to the Word of Life Christian Ministries, where we empower believers for an enriched and abundant life. Feel free to encourage your friends and family to join our lifeline at 866-467-1391 and press number 5 to listen to our live service. Visit us on our website at www.wolcm.org. Now let's listen to DeWarren Gibson, lead pastor, as he brings us the Word of God.
Come on and clap your hands. Call on them. Normally I start the service at 12 o'clock, but today we have an outgoing engagement, so I'm starting at 11:30. I like that little song, Amen, by Norman Hutchison. Jesus on the main line. How many know that he's on the main line?
Yes.
And you just call him and tell him what you want. Praise his holy name. Yeah, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. And we shall call on him because he has established his kingdom in this earth. We shall call on him because we're celebrating still, amen, a resurrection Sunday, a resurrected Jesus Christ, amen. Happy belated Easter, resurrection day. We're on the other side, amen. We've been on this side for over 2,000 years, so let's give God some praise, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with meekness. Put your hands together and exalt his name. Amen. Praise his name. Let's grab each other's hand for the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Forever and ever, amen, amen, amen. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Yes. Today's responsive reading, if you turn to the book of Psalms. Today's responsive reading is coming from the book of Psalms. If you turn with me. To the book of Psalms. And let's go to Psalms 27. This is one of the DeWarren scriptures for shout. Psalms 27. Praise his holy name. And how we do it here is I read the verse, you read the second verse, and we continue on to the last verse and we read it together. Amen. And so we will read up to verse 5. And then I'll read, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Though an army besieged me, my heart would not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident.
One thing I ask from the Lord is to tell me, do I speak that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple.
Let's read together. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Amen. Might be seated in the presence of his Lord. Matter of fact, you can shout your scripture. Amen. I think the one I helped you out today, go ahead and shout your scripture. Shout. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise his holy name. Amen. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called on you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up out from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Amen. Amen. And it goes and says, weeping may rain for a night. King James says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Praise his holy name. You might be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise his holy name. Amen. I have some brief announcements. Well, again, I want to welcome you. This is Pastor Dorn Gibson of Word Life Christian Ministries. We're celebrating on a Sunday morning still, a risen Savior. So I welcome you to our Sunday morning broadcast service. Amen. A teaching of the Word of God. On this Sunday morning, we thank God for the opportunity to do so. And we welcome all the saints in the spring setting. The weather is good. I hope it stays this way. Amen. And so we want to continue to thank God for the blessings that he has for us. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. I got a couple of announcements that opportunities are knocking at my door. I'm praying. I want you all to pray for me as we are. I've been invited to possibly head a global mission for education, as well as to go to Africa in July and August time frame. So pray for me. Pray for your dad, Dewan. Pray for me. This is something that I would love to do. I'm chasing lions, so before you go off or right before you, after you go off, I pray that I'll be able to do that. As well as Northern Theological Seminary, they have a program in which I'm going to be a part of. It's called A New Kind of Preacher. And I believe I'm that type of new kind of preacher. I'm not the type of one that hoop him and so forth, but I believe in being an expository of the Word of God, amen, using techniques called hermeneutics, what a lesson is driven from the Word. To me, it's a lost art, but I thank God. So this program at Northern Seminary, I think it would be a blessing to me in the ministry and to the kingdom, a new kind of preaching, a preaching program at the Northern Seminary. And this program is geared to the development of preaching and a program to teach the mechanics of sermon preparation, but also using other tools and sermon techniques and preparation in new ways. And so I think this will be a benefit. It's a two-year program, and I'm going to join it. So in October, we'll have a forum, and then after that, we'll be able to join part of it. So I thank God for it. I'll be a part of that. I believe in always enhancing the ability to be an expository, a positive preacher to get the word out. And so I'm always looking to zoom in my skills and my teaching, and so that as we minister to the world, even on I Live the Listen Internet Radio Station, we'll do so. Speaking of I Live the Listen Internet Radio Station, I'm actually going to start doing next Sunday. I'm going to call it Sunday Rewind. And so the lesson I shared on Sunday morning, I will play bits and pieces of it on I Live to Listen Internet Radio Station and be live broadcast, and then open it up so people can call in and I can pray for them and be right on the air. And so this is another opportunity, my new kind of preacher, to get the word out. So my focus is not to stand, it'd be lovely to stand in front of millions and preach the word of God. But as I believe there's so many different venues and avenues that God can use you to get the word out. Amen. I want you all to listen to this song. The last song got me up and going, but I want you to listen to this song. I think it'd be a blessing to the body. As we know that Jesus has risen, we will continue to rise above issues. Come on, just let's worship Him.
It is well.
It is well.
Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed.
Yes. Praise His holy name. How many know that you will rise along with Jesus? Hey, praise His holy name. Praise his holy name. Yes, Lord. Speak, Lord. Thy servant here, speak, Lord. Speak to the hearts and minds of your people. Cover them with your love. Hide them under your shadow. Grant them provisions for the weak. Let love abound and transcend and see the burdens of life. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you continue just to cover us, look after the sick, those of Heavenly Father in the hospital beds, or even at home recovering from a surgery or sickness. I pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you touch and heal them. You're the Lord that healeth thee. You're the Lord that changes not. You're no respecter of persons, what you have done before for many others. We know you could do it today. So we lift up those names and those people who are going through physical challenge. And, oh God, you will come and see about them. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, I continue to pray as we make a transition for the word of life. I ask that you cover us and you guide us. That we take a leap of faith. God, thank you for the opportunity that's coming. The opportunity to lead a global ministry and even, oh God, go to Africa and many other countries. I pray in advance you even go before us and give us travel, grace, and protection. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you continue to bless us. You continue to use us. Cover every member. Those are here and not here. Keep them in your loving arms. Those who listen to us online, don't know who they are, who might listen to this recording, but God, I pray for them. I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you would meet their need. I pray, oh God, that you remove the burdens, oh God, that the world has placed on them. Every attack of the enemy, oh God, we pray and come against that attack now in the name of Jesus. We declare, oh God, and plead the blood of Jesus over every member, every believer, of everyone, oh God, that you'll call according to their name. God, we know that there's no weapon that formed against us that shall prosper because of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for this past week of Passover, oh God, that we're reminded that it's the blood of Jesus that has the power to keep us and sustain us. It's the love of the blood of Jesus, oh God, that we put over our doorposts, oh God, in our homes, in our minds, in our hearts. So God, we pray in the name of Jesus. That you remember our prayer, you touch us and you bless us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we acknowledge you as our creator and sustainer of life. Therefore, we approach the throne of grace and mercy with a renewed hope and confidence that you will hear and answer our prayer according to your riches and glory in heaven. Lord, come into our heart, transform our mind, and change our ways. Impact our lives with your holy word. Impact us with your Holy Spirit. Impact us with your power and your presence. Impact us, Father, for a rich and abundant life, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Yes. Yes. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Yes. Hmm. book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. And turn with me to verse 10. The book of Jeremiah, one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, chapter 29. Starting at verse number 10. I pray that this teaching will be rooted in the ground and I learned something today. Actually, this week on Thursday, so I want to share with you all derived from this scripture what God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah as recorded in the Bible in chapter 29, starting in verse 10. This is what the Lord says: when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to you, gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Verse 11. For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. That's enough. Amen. You might be seated in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. The Lord declares through the prophet Jeremiah and speaks to the children of Israel while they were in captivity, in exile. He tells them that I know the plans that I have for you, the plans. He said, I know the plans. I had an opportunity this Thursday to go with DeWarren Jr. to a kickoff for his interest at a school of choice. And we had opportunity to walk through and had a tour of an architect site, whereas they were showing many designs. They were showing sketches and also they were showing models that they were building and had already completed. And the tour guide, as we were walking, we went to a section in the building, whereas there were large drawings and paintings and pictures. And he was explaining to us that these are what they call master plans. You recall that, Dwayne? And I thought that was so significant. I heard the Spirit talk to me and the scripture came to mind that God has a master plan for you and I. God has a master plan for the kingdom and for the church at large. God has a master plan that he's been working ever since the existence of this earth. And one of the things I learned about on that tour, the architect tour about master plan. A master plan is an evolving long-term planning document and or picture. It established the framework and the key elements of a site, reflecting a clear vision created and adopted in an open process. In other words, what we have seen, it was a billboard, so to speak, or a large poster board where it wasn't manifested. It didn't come to pass yet, but it was a pictorial picture. It was a vision or a view of what's to come. And so the architect would create this master plan drawing and say, this is how it can look. And this is how, if the contract approved, this is how we carry forward that vision. Somebody say master plan. The master plan is synthesizes civic goals and public aspiration for a project. It gives them form and an organization and define a realistic plan for implementation, including subsequent approvals by public agencies. Because when the architect firm creates the master plan, now I'm no architect, I'm going off what I heard and seen. What they would do is they would take this master plan drawing, they would present it to government agencies, they would present it to the public, and say, hey, this is the vision that I see for this site. This is the vision that I see for this area. And they will paint it, they will draw it, they will sketch it, and they will have a full color of what they want to present from a realistic point of view. And so that master plan, it includes the land, includes the building, includes the view around the surroundings. And the master plan, when you look at it, it is so nice, but it's not here yet. Amen? It's a proposal, but it gives you a view, it gives you an insight of what the architect wants to build in a certain area. Amen? When I heard this, I said, my God, that's what God's been trying to do for his children all along, is to reveal his master plan. And if we can understand that God's master plan, not our plan, God's master plan, although it's not complete, it's complete in his vision, but he hasn't revealed us the complete vision. He would tell us in the word what it's going to look like, but we haven't seen it or experienced it yet because we're still living. And so in order for Jesus to unfold the God's master plan, he had to die so that he can see the other unveiling things that God wants to do for us. And he tells us in the world, he tells us in his word that this is the master plan. And if you can get the understanding of the master plan, you'll continue to work towards that plan and not our plan. Amen? So let me paint the picture, if I may. God has a master plan for his sons and daughters. So in Genesis 1, in the master plan, he says, in the beginning, God created a heaven and the earth. Amen. Somebody say master plan. See, we have no dealings and no doings with God creating the heaven and the earth. Amen. He designed that. He architected that long before we had arrived. Somebody say master plan. And so in that master plan, God desired the fact that we have a location so that his people can dwell in and give him praise and worship. Amen. That is the master plan. So let me continue to paint this picture. First of all, here's God said, let me create the earth. Let me create the heaven. We all know the creation story, but that's not the full master plan. Keep on reading. In Genesis, you'll see that God said, let us create man in our image. So part of his master plan, number one, God said, let me create the earth. Then let me create the man. But since there is the earth and the man, God's planning process continues on. Amen. He tells man and woman who he created in his own image, he said, be fruitful and increase in numbers and fill the earth. So let's look at this, paint this picture. First, God had to create the place that we need to reside, the heaven and the earth. Now, what we realize is the earth. Some of us, with the heavenly thrones that God has created for us, we ain't there yet. But God's going to paint the picture so that not only when he created the heaven and the earth, and then he created us to be in it, he's going to give you a glimpse of, if I created the earth, and you see it and you believe it and you know it, let me show you a little glimpse of heaven. Amen. Somebody say, God's master plan. And we have to understand this fact that we were created for a purpose. And that purpose is to please God. He's our creator and sustainer of life. Are you with me? And so God created this earth so that we could enjoy. God created a place for his children to enjoy the fat of the land. I talked about that, amen? Why not? Now in Genesis 15:2. So we got to not get caught up in our little world and our little problems that we deal with. Oftentimes we get so overwhelmed of what you experience of the day, but God tells us he always wants us to lift our mind up and look at the full plan that is working for our good. So what I've been teaching all along for the past couple of Sundays, why not, is to realize that God established a place so that we can dwell in it. Now, only when God established a place that we can dwell in it, he created us a companion. So God said, let us create man. And so that when he created a man and woman, he wanted us to have relationship with one another as well with him. And then as he continued to reveal his master plan, what God did is he said, I want you to enjoy the fat of the land. And one way you do this, he said, I give you dominion over everything that's on this earth. God crowned us with glory so that we can have the authority of everything on earth. Amen. So by the word and by Jesus, amen, that we declare as our Lord and Savior, even when we say Jesus, we have power to put everything under our feet. You know that Jesus put everything under his feet, even death, just a couple of Sundays ago. Amen. Are you with me? Somebody say master plan. But it doesn't stop there with the creation of the earth, the creation of man and woman, and giving us power and everything in the world to fill it. God continued to reveal his plan because he said, listen, and he told Moses and the children of Israel in Exodus 3:8, he said, even after we caught ourselves in some bondage along the way, God said, I still have a master plan because I want you to enjoy, amen, not only the fat of the land, but look at the fat of the land. It's going to be flowing with milk and honey. Mm. In Exodus 3:8, he said, so I have come down to rescue them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. Then Moses tells us this. God tells Moses this to give him a glimpse of the master plan to warn. He said, number one, I created heaven and earth. I created man. I created everything in it to fill it. And then when we got ourselves in another trap with the children of Israel being oppressed in Egypt, he said, no, don't worry about that. My plan is still the plan. Amen. My plan is the plan to the plan change. My plan is still the plan. And I don't think about you, God didn't change his plan. And what he said, my plan is that fact that he told Moses, I'm going to rescue you, but I'm going to have my children come out of the state of depression so that they can go into a land flowing of milk and honey. And now Moses never ever had the opportunity to go into the land, but God gave Moses a glimpse to see the land. Amen. Check it out in Exodus 27:12. The Lord said to Moses, go up this mountain. And then he said, while he's on his range, see the land I have given the Israelites. Now look at the master plan. God created the earth. God created man. God created a place that's spacious, flowing with milk and honey. And we haven't made it there yet. Mm. He gave our forefather Moses a glimpse of the land. And listen, he used a past tense word to let us know that it's already out. He said, I have given you the land. Now, you got to understand scripture that they wasn't there yet. Matter of fact, they was in the wilderness on a long period of time. But the master plan was that God would have a remnant of folks in a land flowing with milk and honey. Amen? Let me continue to paint this picture here, if you walk with me. The geography and God's master plan is specific, provide great details of his layout. And that's why he gave Moses the vision to look. And his pictorial provide rich and decorative backdrop of God's master plan for his children as a prelude of heaven. Mm. So God wants you to enjoy the fat of the land. God wants you to have good things in life. God wants you to live in a land that's spacious. God wants you to have in a place that's flowing milk and honey. In other words, milk and honey is saying that God will supply all of your needs. How many know that his name is Jehovah Jireh? He's our provider. And not only that, God wants to put us in a place that we can enjoy the land. God wants us to know that this is a prelude into heaven. Amen? What I mean by prelude, God wants you to give you a glimpse of heaven here on earth. Amen? Now, this earth where we stand on is not heaven and hell. I don't care what nobody has said. Amen? But there's a place much better than a place of flowing and milk and honey, and it's all part of God's master plan. Are you with me? His master plan. And then listen. To fully appreciate God's master plan, you have to understand that God himself is setting things in place. And listen, he had already foretold what was to come. God's master plan. Jesus said this in Matthew 24 and 35. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now look at the master plan. God created heaven and earth. He created so that his children can enjoy it. And while we're just passing through, somebody say passing through. We realize that we don't love the things of the world. It was put in place so that we can enjoy it, but listen, we're not in love with it. We studied that in Bible study this morning. Amen. So we have a transient relationship with the world. Amen. Somebody say transient. Which means is we're just going through. And so God's master plan is for those children, he desires whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God wants our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that we can fulfill his master plan by being in heaven. That's the whole premise of why Jesus died. Jesus died for our sins. That was part of God's master plan. Jesus was resurrected. That was part of his master plan so that we will believe and keep on believing in what God has planned for us. For God knows the plan. The prophet already foretold. He said, for God knows the plan. And the plan is that eventually we will leave this place. Heaven and earth will be no longer, but we will be with God forever. And that's God's master plan, that he wants us to dwell and be with him. I don't know about you, but I want to be with my Father forever. I know what the Bible says about hell, and hell is no place I want to go. Does anybody want to get on the bus of heaven with me? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'd be like one of the special kids on the bus, open up the window and shouting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 13. Why don't you grab your Bibles? Amen. I want to paint this picture of God's master plan. Once you understand God's master plan, you'll fully appreciate what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Amen. Turn with me, 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 3, verse 11. You there? If you're not there, say, hold on. I guess we're there, amen? Listen to what the word says as I read to you. He says, since everything here today might be gone tomorrow. He says, since everything here today might be gone tomorrow, do you see how essential it is to live a life or to live a holy life? Daily expect the day of the God, eager for its arrival. The galaxies, and I'm reading from the Message Bible, sorry. The galaxy will burn up and the elements melt down that day, but we will hardly notice. We'll be looking the other way, ready for the promise, new heavens, and the promise of a new earth. All landscape with righteousness. Amen. And that was from the Message Bible, 2 Peter 2, chapter 3, verse 11 and 13. Now that the disciples understand and hear and listen with Jesus that everything is going to pass away, let's look at the word, what it says about God's plans for his children. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want to paint this picture for you so that we have a complete comprehension, understanding of the word of God and God's master plan. Revelation chapter 21, are you there? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. You see that? And there were no longer any sea. Again, you see repeatedly, Jesus said it, Peter said it. Now here's John saying on the island of Patmos, he said, I see a new heaven and a new earth. Look at this part of God's master plan. He said, all things are going to pass away. There'll be no longer any sea. Then he said, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautiful dress for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Somebody say, God's master plan. Now, you see that at the end, God is desire that we'll be there dwelling with him. We'll be his people. He'll be our God. Amen. Amen. Somebody say heaven.
Heaven.
Yes. This is all part of God's master plan. Amen. He said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Then he said, I saw a holy city.
Amen.
Now, I told you that a part of the master plan from an architect standpoint, it gives you a picture of reality of what's to come, of what they're going to build. Amen?
Yes.
And so what God is trying to tell us through his word is that I'm creating a holy city in spite of what you're dealing with and going through now. Don't lose hope. Don't get in love with the world, because that's a better place than what it is here. And the only way to get to this better place, you have to accept my son Jesus, amen, who's already ascended up to heaven. But you got to understand the complete picture of God's master plan, amen. And his master plan, look at the picture he's painting. He said his precious jewel like that. He said as clear as crystal, golden gate. Gold walls, amen. Streets of pure gold, amen. God's master plan, you hear me? It's not a fault or incomplete. It's the complete picture of a saint should be driving towards, amen. His plan was achieved through Jesus Christ. But to fully appreciate Jesus' resurrection power, you have to understand that God has a master plan. He has a master plan. Jeremiah said he knows the plans for our life. and we understand our role and our position and our master plan, you'll be much more appreciative of what God will do. Amen. Say somebody say, God master plan.
God master plan. Hallelujah.
Yes. Go back to the word, Jeremiah 29. The prophet already foretold. He's already unveiling to those who's in captivity. Somebody might be in some rough situations today, but I want to let you know that God has a plan. You might be going through heartache. You might be going through pain. You might be going through challenges. But listen here, Apostle Paul says, it's working for our good, Romans 8 and 28. What the devil meant for evil, God has meant it for our good. And so Jeremiah, the prophet, and the true prophet that he is, he tells us that, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And see, you got to understand from the very beginning, God's plans always is to prosper his people. That's why, you know what, the poor will always be with us, but we don't have to have a poverty mindset, amen?
Amen.
Mm. You got to understand that God always wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to live prosperous so we can have a glimpse of heaven, amen?
Amen.
It's all a part of his plan. Listen, after Jesus' death, God unfolds another key component of his master plan. Turn with me in Matthew 28, verse 19. Another key component of his master plan so that we all enjoy what Jeremiah is saying, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. Matthew 28, verse 19. The Great Commission is another key component of God's master plan. Amen. It's lonely being on the top by yourself. But if you understand God's plan, he wants to be able to bring everyone else within the fold. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Look at the other key component of the master plan. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is Jesus. Amen. The same earth that he says that's going to pass away. The same earth that he was with God in the beginning, that he said, let us create man in our image. Jesus was there then. Amen. He just stepped down from glory in order to fulfill what the prophets had said. It was part of God's master plan. And now part of his plan that he unfolded right after Easter, he says that all authority, heaven and earth, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. God's master plan. I don't want anyone to be tricked where somebody only give you part of the plan. See, some people give you part of the plan and say, oh, you're going to be rich. You're going to turn around three times and you're going to enjoy everything here on earth right now. That's true, but that's only part of the plan. We're going to have to leave this place because God has already prepared another place. And at the end of age, amen, all this is going to be gone away. You heard it. You read it. He says the earth is not going to be no longer. I'm going to create a whole new heaven and a new earth. It's part of God's plan. So even while this period when the children of Israel is in exile, God said don't get worried about that because God knows the plan. You keep the faith. You keep the hope. And when God is to finish his fulfillment of his plan, all this is be over, but yet for the faithful few who hold on to the hope that Jesus Christ came so that we might have life and that more abundantly now and forever, this is part of God's master plan. You got to get happy because God didn't say only you were born and you would live. That's part of the plan and you would die. The plan continues. You got to understand the full scope. that after we are born here and leave here, and those who die in Christ will never die again. We experience the first death, but never the second death. Because God has fixed it so that part of his master plan will be with him in heaven. Amen? Amen. Somebody say God's master plan. Yeah. After Jesus' death, God unfolds another key component of his master plan. Is to get others into the fold. The Great Commission, as many would call it. After the resurrection, God unveiled his master plan for that we can adhere and follow the things that Jesus Christ put in place. Until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tell somebody, we're on the other side now. The disciples of Jesus were able to understand their purpose in ministry. Because you remember that before, when Jesus was telling them that, hey, listen, I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, these things are going to happen to me, they wouldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. They didn't understand it. And as I told on last Sunday, is that believing is seeing. And the whole point of me coming to this point today, after resurrection, believing is seeing, because once you just believe it, you can see what God has unfolded for his believers, for his children. Amen. His master plan. Judas didn't get an understanding of his master plan. As a matter of fact, as we understood on last time, Doubting Thomas didn't understand the master plan. But here we are. We're so blessed. We have the full gospel, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We have the Word of God and its fullness. We have God's master plan here written down for us. Amen. And here we are living in a day in life like God didn't create nothing for us. We're living like there's no tomorrow. We live like God didn't create a heaven and or hell. Hell is real. And God said, you know what? Time out. I already sent a savior. I already sent a savior. And his savior, those who believe in him. Romans 10:9. Mama said it earlier. Amen. But we cannot get some folks to understand that God has a full master plan. When we look at God's landscape for heaven and his complete plan for his children, you'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height. And to know that God, the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Paul tells us this in Ephesians 3:16. He said in verse 17, 18, 19, we ought to be able to comprehend all the saints, God's master plan. And once we're able to understand God's master plan, then he goes and say the fact that we'll be filled with the fullness of God. Somebody say the fullness of God. And then he went on to say, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that's working within us. See, God is only going to operate how much faith you have. If you understand what Jeremiah was saying, that, hey, listen, in spite of what their situations are in, you can understand that God has a plan for your life, you will believe that. According to the power that's working in you. According to the faith that you have. And listen, it don't take a whole lot of that, man. God just said it take a mustard seed of faith. You didn't need a whole lot. You don't need a batch. You don't need an ounce. You don't need a whole pound of it. Just a little speck. A little ounce. A little speck. A little speck of it can remove mountains. And you got to have understanding that small little speck, God can use that small little speck of faith to unfold and reveal his full master plan for your life. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to a few selected, and then he appeared to a couple of hundred, But he wants them to know the fact that, see, the plan didn't stop just because I died on Calvary. See, a lot of people, when, listen, this is so true. When we experience death in our life, you know, a family member or whatever, we think the plan stops. When Dr. Martin Luther King died, that wasn't the end of the march of the civil rights fight. The plan continues on because God has a master plan. The thing is, we meet milestones and goals in our plan and think that's it. No, no, no. Each and every Sunday is part of God's master plan. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want you all to understand, in fact, this Sunday morning, is that God is working some things out in your life. You might not see the complete picture, but you got to trust and believe that God has the master plan. And if he's the master at all, amen, you just got to look to him to tell you, God, where I need to go in this plan. One of the challenges that we have as a believer is that we don't want to wait on the Lord. Because sometimes God's not going to reveal the whole plan to you. If he give you the whole plan all at one time, it will just blow your mind. And so God, he has the privilege to hold back some things. He say, well, let me give you a little bit of the plan and let me see what you do with that. And the problem is we take that little plan and try to go ahead of it. Like this, I need to go ahead of God. I need some more. I need want more. That's why people go ahead and get married before time. People leave jobs before time. People start ministries before time. People make kids grow up before their time. We grow up before our time. And each and every time we don't wait on God and understand the next step in his master plan, we mess up. We find ourselves faltering and even sinning. That's why we have to wait on the Lord. Because when we wait on the Lord, he'll continue to reveal parts of his plan. The disciples didn't understand all the plans what Jesus was going to do after Calvary, but he just told them to trust. Just believe. Believe. Because if you believe, you shall receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And I love what Jeremiah said. You got to keep on seeking. Is there anybody seeking? Scripture tells us you got to ask. Turn with me, Matthew chapter 6. See, sometimes we get all tripped over because we don't fulfill and seek after God's plan. But I love Matthew 7 and 7. This is how we're able to see some of the things revealed to us in God's master plan. I'm teaching here today. I might not get a whole lot of amens, but I'm trying to get you all to understand that God will order your steps. Amen. God will lead you step by step if you just continue on. God, I want to be part of your master plan. God, I don't want to go ahead of you. I don't want to be left behind. But God, continue to reveal to me at my set time and set day your master plan for my life. I know the master plan that you have for the kingdom. Amen. You're going to create a whole new heaven and a new earth. But yet, God, I want to make sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But even now while I'm on this earth, I want to make sure, God, that I'm fulfilling the things that you want me to do in the plan for my life. I want to fulfill the destiny, amen. I want to fulfill the promise, amen. I want to fulfill what you have for my life. I want to have a purpose-driven life. Thank you, Rick Warren. But this is how you're able to get some glimpse of his master plan for your life. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus tells us, ask and it will be given to you. Is there anybody praying to God, asking that God reveal to me what I need to be, what I want to be, what I ought to be? He said, ask and it will be given to you. And then I love what Jeremiah said, that continue to seek and he'll be found. Look what Jesus said. He said, seek and you will. Go back to Matthew 29. But don't lose your place on Matthew 7. Put your finger there on Matthew 7. Matthew looked at him and said, what are you talking to me? What are you saying, Willis? Go back to Jeremiah 29. See, the challenge is, a lot of folks is, they love to jump and shout. They love to say, yes, God's going to bless me. But they don't know the plan for what God has for their life. Once you know what God, your plan, your destiny, what God has want you to fulfill, that's when everything gets connected. Amen. That's when things, that's why things become to work together. Amen. But yeah, if you're just jumping and shouting that God's going to happen to me, and you trying to be a baker when God wanted you to be a butcher, it ain't going to work. Amen. Mm. Go to Jeremiah 29. Go back to it. Amen. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Mm. Actually, go back to number 12. He said, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Mm. This is after you know that God has a plan for you, and you humble yourself and put your agenda to the side and say, God, what's your agenda for my life? Amen. And then verse 13, he said, you will seek me. Amen. You see that? You there, Duan? You see that? He said, you will seek me and find me. And, but listen, he said, look at what he's going to do. He said, but when you seek me with all your heart, then verse 14, he said, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. See, the problem is we're captive thinking the fact that place of employment is our job, is our life. Sometimes we're captive in our mind just thinking of where we at is the end and be all. But that's not the truth. God says, seek me. Now go back to Matthew 7. Mm. Hallelujah. God said, in order to understand my master plan, you got to seek after me. Amen. First of all, open your mouth and ask. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. You'll find the path to get out of captivity. You'll find the plans to get out of captivity. You'll find the key to unlock the doors to get out of captivity. Then he goes and say, in verse 8, for every one of you who has asked will receive. Hmm. He will seek, find, and to him who knocks the door will be open. See, you got to seek. You got to ask, you got to seek, and you got to be knocking. And you're not asking God to give you the full plan, but you're asking God and your master plan. Reveal to me what's next for my life. Mm. Reveal to me what I need to be fulfilling, need to be doing. Amen. You got to know that God has the master plan. He's the holder. He's the key. But you got to seek after the things of God. See, a lot of people are seeking for pleasure. They're seeking for comfort. They're seeking for that to do. But God is not saying that. Sometimes you'll go through a little heartache to get a little closer to God to see his plan. See, God had a plan for Joseph. He went through some challenges. He went through some plans. He went through some issues. But yet, at the end of it all, if you understood God's master plan, God set him up so that way he could be a savior for God's people. He was a savior for his family. Amen. Mm. Jesus went through some challenges. Jesus went through some pain. Jesus went through some issues on Calvary. But it was working for our good. It was part of the master plan. Amen. Job lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. But it was all part of the master plan. You might be going through some hurt and some pain in life, but it's all part of God's master plan. But you understand what Jesus said, a part of his glimpse when he told his disciples after his resurrection, I will never leave you or forsake you. You might go through some things, but you got to understand my daddy has created a master plan. He has created a new heaven and a new earth. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be caught up with Jesus. This old body that has been laid down will be caught up with the whole spirit that God has put aside. Part of his master plan. And the problem is stuck in the hurt of what we see right now. We get stuck in the hurt, especially at funerals. We just look at that dead body and we begin to cry and say, oh, that's it. No, we're going to hurt because of the lost one. But you got to have the hope and faith and understand that God's master plan that we should see our brother and sister again. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. It's part of God's master plan. I just want to be a part of his plan. I want to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that when he called my name, I said, yes. When he called my name, I said, yes, Lord. Is there anybody saying yes, Lord, today? Is there anybody saying yes, Lord, today? Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. Come on and give him glory. Every head bow now shut. God, you continue to reveal to us. I call them milestones. Jesus was able to accomplish a major milestone on Calvary so that we too may be able to enjoy a part of the master plan. Thank you for your word, oh God, because in your word, you clearly show us that what we see today is not going to be no longer. And our Bible study, we said, don't love this earth, oh God, because it's not going to be here forever. So God, give us the understanding and the faith, oh God, that we too is part of your master plan. And we got to bring others into the plan so that, oh God, every person that you desire that called on your name shall be saved. Whosoever call on your name, that's your word, oh God, and your word is true, shall be saved. And God, for all of those you have saved, those are yet to be saved, we want to be a part of your master plan. For Jeremiah understood, oh God, as you spoke to him, for you said, for I know the plans that I have to prosper us, oh God, and not to harm us, to give us hope and expected end. And that expected end, oh God, is that we all, too, will be in glory one day. But until that time, oh God, it's also your plan that we enjoy the land flowing of milk and honey. We enjoy the fat of the land. So God, any hurt, any sickness that's preventing us to enjoy the fat of the land right now. Any poverty, anything, oh God, that's come against us, to enjoy the good life that you have set aside for us. Your word is true, oh God. You came so that we might have life and that more abundantly. And so, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, fulfill your master plan in our lives. Show us your master plan so that we, our hope will be increased, our faith will be increased. God, let us see the beginning, the middle, but give us a glimpse of the end. To let us know, oh God, we shall be with all the others singing holy, holy, holy. God, thank you for revealing part of your plan to us. Even on Easter Sunday, even after on Good Friday, all that was working for our good because it was part of your master plan. And here we are 2,000 years later, waiting, expecting that you fulfill your plans in our lives. Do it, Lord. We ask that you fulfill it, Lord. And give us the faith and understanding that even when we go through challenge, it's working for our good. We thank you and we praise you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. It's working for our good. Bless his holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.